From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. Someone's knocking at the door. Someone's ringing the bell. I'm Bill Curtis. And here is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Thanks, everybody. Thank you so much. We have got a fantastic show for you today. Senator Cory Booker of New Jersey will be joining us later on. He was the beloved mayor of Newark. Now he is a senator, and seriously, he is a regular member of every most eligible bachelor in Washington list until now. Because in addition to Carl Castle's voice, today on this show, we are offering all our winners one magical night with Cory Booker. So get yourself gussied up and give us a call. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Let's welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi.
Well, hi. Who's this?
I am Jackie Benson.
Well, hello, Jackie Benson. Where are you calling from?
I am from Moultonboro, New Hampshire.
Moultonboro?
Yes.
Where is Moultonboro?
It's in the Lakes region.
The Lakes region of New Hampshire.
Central New Hampshire.
Central. New Hampshire is so small, how can it have any regions? Well, Jackie, let me introduce you to our panel this week. First up, it's a comedian headlining Zanies in Chicago on March 8th. It's Adam Burke.
Hi, Adam.
Next, it's a feature writer for the style section of the Washington Post, Roxanne Roberts.
Hi, Jackie.
And a comedian performing at the Laughing Derby in Louisville, Kentucky on March 10th through the 12th. It's Bobcat Goldthwait. Jackie, welcome to the show. You're going to play Who's Bill this time. Bill Curtis is going to perform for you three quotations from the week's news. Your job, correctly identify or explain just two of them. Do that, you'll win our prize, the voice of scorekeeper emeritus Carl Castle, on your voicemail to do with what you will. You ready to play?
I'm ready.
All right, here is your first quote.
He is very, very not smart.
That was Mitt Romney speaking on Thursday, and we are certain, absolutely stopping cold, the inevitable rise to power of whom?
That would be Donald Trump.
Yes, Donald Trump. Oh, the fight is on. They decided to go after Trump. The GOP bigwigs needed someone who couldn't fail. But the best they could do was somebody who couldn't fail again, right? I mean, what are the odds? It was weird to hear after so many years from Mitt Romney on live TV. It was like getting a booty call from someone you dumped 4 years ago. Hey, America, are you up?
When he talked about Trump's failed companies, and when he got to the vodka, he actually stumbled on that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know where his brain went, because I know he's a teetotaler, right?
Yeah, well, he's a Mormon. He doesn't drink.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He can't even say it.
Yeah. Yeah, he was like, vodka.
Am I right in thinking that this took place at the Hinckley Institute?
It did.
That sounds like a place where you'd learn to take out a president.
Oh, yeah, it's true.
But not successfully.
Not successfully, right?
Apparently
so it was achieved.
Is what happened here.
All of which is better than poor Chris Christie standing there on Super Tuesday.
Oh, well, that's the thing.
I just felt so bad.
That's the thing. You see, some Republicans like Mitt Romney and others are saying, no, they're going to fight. Others are you know, getting on board before it's too late. Like Chris Christie, as you say, he was standing there behind Trump as Trump went on the night of Super Tuesday. And Christie was so silent and so still because Trump had put a treat on Christie's nose but hadn't given Christie the command to eat it.
The whole Republican Party has been like a Godzilla movie where they're denying, you know, yeah, that Godzilla's loose.
Yeah.
And now they're like
stomping and stomping.
Yeah, and now they're going, oh my God, it's real.
And Mitt Romney was like the scientist who says, well, I will take care of this. And he goes out and he uses the special ray. And it's like, it doesn't work. He likes it. It makes him bigger.
Well, I think the one thing we've learned from those movies, the only way to stop a monster is a bigger mechanical version of that monster.
Yeah, it's like the Pacific Rim theory.
Yeah, so like they build like a Trumpton 2000 that's like like gold plated and beautiful and huge and has a casino in its head. Like just
Yeah.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah. It's just, and it's reflective, so the real Donald Trump is just drawn to it.
All right. Here is your next quote.
I feel like I've lived my whole life up here.
That was a man named Scott Kelly. He was speaking on Tuesday, right before he headed home after breaking the American record for spending the longest time ever where?
At the International Space Station.
In space! Yes, very good. Very big deal. We've heard a lot about it. NASA live streamed the re-entry of a spaceship. Millions of Americans tuned in. They mistakenly believed the capsule contained Matt Damon returning from Mars. Damn.
Apparently, he said, they asked him what the first thing he's going to do when he got back, and he said the first thing he's going to do is jump into his pool. And I found myself being more jealous of the fact that he has a pool than he's been into outer space. It tells you about my priorities.
Your life.
Yeah.
I think it's weird that his first thing is that he wanted to be weightless.
Yeah.
I want to jump back into the pool.
He had a lot of things he wanted to do when he got back. He said, oh, I can't wait to enjoy a perfectly safe Chipotle burrito. And I really am looking forward to congratulating the many black actors nominated for Academy Awards. Jackie, your last quote is really a bunch of them from a bunch of upset people in Italy.
This will destroy our country.
it's incredible.
It's a sign of the apocalypse.
I don't know about you, I feel transported to the Tuscan countryside.
Amazing.
I thought De Niro was here for a minute.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Crazy.
No, they were actually outraged. Because for the first time ever, a what is opening up in Italy?
I want to say like a Papa John's or something.
Oh, it's actually you're on the right track.
Where'd you get? Oh God, like the bottomless breadsticks.
This is we're just you mean Olive Garden?
Yeah, the Olive Garden.
We are coming up with even more ways to piss off the Italians, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I'll give you a hint. They'd be like. Venti, what do you mean venti? Venti means 20. Why are you asking me?
A Starbucks.
Starbucks, yes. For the first time ever, Starbucks is opening a store in Italy. They're going to have to adjust the menu. Here, you know, they just have all these silly names for drinks we make fun of. But in Italian, those words have meaning. Order a frappuccino. You say, I'd like a frappuccino in Italy, and you'll get arrested. Or that creepy barista will go, oh, really? And invite you into the back. So.
Just to be absolutely clear, you're trying to imply that a frappuccino was some sort of sex act.
I wasn't going to be that blunt about it.
Because now I'm trying to think what a mocha frappuccino would be, and it's like...
Yeah. But I cannot, I mean, Italy is, in fact, filled everywhere you go. There's cafes serving the best little cups of coffee you ever had. Everywhere, every street corner, it's great. It's part of Italian life. Why would an Italian person, with that going for him or her, want to go into a Starbucks?
Peter, Italian people need somewhere to write their screenplays that are never going to get made.
That's true.
Just as much as Americans do.
You make a good point. Look at the Starbucks. It's Roberto Benigni. Hello, Roberto. Yeah. In Italy, in an Italian Starbucks, if you order a pumpkin spice latte, by law, they can punch you in the face. Bill, how did Jackie do in our quiz?
She was perfect, Peter. Three right. And the win.
Woohoo!
Thank you, Jackie. Thanks for playing. Congratulations. Bye-bye now.
Bye.